and know the truth.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me.
Welcome, folks. We're tuned in here to the second hour of the Trump phenomenon, and Bob, I don't want to keep Paul in New Jersey waiting any more than I already have. So let us go to Paul in New Jersey, if you're there. Are you there, Paul?
And, yes.
Hi.
Concerning this Pittsburgh shooting, we can remember, are you familiar with Barbara Spector Lerner and her favorite, you know, that famous comment she made, where she admitted that there would be in Europe an anti-Semitic backlash due to Jews' role in promoting multiculturalism and mass migration.
I've heard that said by others. I don't remember that particular reference, but yeah, I'm familiar with that line of thinking, yes.
But nonetheless, Barbara Spector Lerner also basically said her plan, at least, for the changing of Europe to becoming multiculturalist and was in her interest, and she promoted that. So she anticipated anti-Semitic backlashes against Jews' promotion of migration. That's what Robert Bauer basically did when he shot up the synagogue in Princeton. It was his form of protest of a, I would argue, a psychologically alienated white man who has been dispossessed, as our people have been dispossessed. And so part of the way I feel whites should react to this, to white Gentiles, is just to basically not feel some sort of collective guilt or any guilt whatsoever. And actually, we need to be strong about it and more resolute in our positions. And we want to remind our Jewish friends that there are millions and millions of white men in the United States that feel dispossessed. We should also remind them that millions and millions of those white men own arms and aren't going to give them up. And there's so many more of us than Jews in this country. Jews should basically take a hard look at themselves and maybe change their position. And instead of being leaders in pro-migration, be leaders in stopping migration.
Okay, I think I get the thread of your thought there, and the on this guy, is it Bauer or Bowers?
Bowers. Yeah.
And the way I see it,
yeah.
Okay. And the way I see it, this guy. Now, hang on, this Robert Bauer guy. I don't know. I know nothing about him except he did make a legal purchase of at least six different firearms. And they're pretty fancy, expensive guns. So he's not so dispossessed that he doesn't have a lot of spare change. I would say I'm just kind of, you know, we give a I don't know if our two lines of thinking are going to directly meet here, but I'm going to give you a Kelso line of thought on this question. Is that the Bauer, in my mind, here's what I think happened to Robert Bauer. People out there who are peddling a truly anti-Semitic line of simply just a rabid hatred of Jews. And let me tell you, I know what I'm talking about here. Okay, I don't want to go into too much detail, but I know what I'm talking about. I'm not on the sidelines on this question. I've been right in the middle of it for a long time. When you do that, you have people out there like Robert Bauer who – first of all, to walk into a church or synagogue and mow down 11 people, you have to be nuts. You have to be a psychopath. You have to be a sociopath. You have to be mentally really messed up to walk in, look at strangers, with a high-powered rifle and blow their life away. A defenseless people. So that's and by the way, cowardly. You know, when you walk into a synagogue, there's not going to be anybody in there that's packing. They're not going to have their guns. This is true of a church too. The church killer of recent times. There was a church killer. I forget the exact location, but this whack job walked into a church with a high-powered rifle and just opened up. Nobody in there had a weapon, and the scene was saved by a guy with a also with a semi-auto rifle who lived across the street. His daughter ran in and said, "Daddy, there's somebody shooting over in the church across the street." And he had to go to his safe because, you know, you got to have your guns all locked up now. He ran to his safe, got his gun out, you know, armed it, and then barefoot ran across the street, and he had this.
I'm losing you, Jamie. Or you lost me. Anyway, for the people out there, if I'm the one running the show, I wrote a joke. Would you like to hear it? Do you know where Robert Bowers is going? He's going to Valhalla, of course. Those are the rules. And that's the joke I wrote. I hope everybody out there likes it. Anyway, this is Paul wrapping up the show for Jamie. I guess something happened over at Republic.
Okay, Paul?
Yeah.
I think I'm back. I don't know what you were saying, but I'm just going to come right
joke.
Back in. Well, yeah, but okay. Hang on with your joke, because this is an important point. I don't want this to get lost. That fellow who went into that Christian church, he heard shots from around the edge of the door, and he said to himself, "My gut was torn up as I realized each shot that I heard might be another life ending." And it really was that way. So he just turned around the corner, exposed himself to fire from another man with a semi-auto rifle, not a fun place to be, in his bare feet, and opened up on the guy. And he ran. He was a coward, like this guy, Bauer, at the synagogue. A total coward. A disgusting scumbag of a coward who must receive the death sentence. Must receive the death sentence. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. And whatever aspect of the law, federal prosecution, whatever it takes,
he
needs to fry. Hang on. He needs to fry in the electric chair. Because
no, but
these
wait a minute.
Idiots.
Not
wait a minute. No, I'm not holding on, and I'm not waiting. Okay? This guy needs to go straight to hell in an electric chair. He's a total coward. There's nothing heroic, good, commendable in any way, shape, or form about walking up to people and shooting them. Innocent people. Now, let me make another point. And this is something that the white nationalist movement better suck it up and face this fact. You are hurting Donald Trump badly. Badly. And I'll bet you a dollar to a donut that Robert Bauer was a white nationalist. I know he was a Nazi. I know he loved Hitler. And the damage that various white nationalists have done to Donald Trump is inestimable. And it's happening again. And these guys need to shut up and stop doing this damage to the actual patriot movement in America, which is not white national socialist. The national socialists have been killing a white movement in America for over half a century. And this guy Bauer is probably the most recent incarnation of that. And then you wanted to raise the issue of Jewish power and so on. The fact that there are lots of left-wing Jews is not, let's see, how many left-wing white Europeans are there? Should we start down the list of white Europeans who are left-wingers? Okay, it's the left includes people of color, Jews, white Europeans on the left, and they're all disgusting. And they're all destroying our peoples and our civilization. And they all need to be fought. But now here's one thing. What are they trying to do with Donald Trump right now? What is the left doing? They're constantly trying to connect Donald Trump with this total loser of white nationalism. Because they know if they can succeed in doing that, they will destroy the Trump revolution. They will absolutely destroy it. If you can hook this 63 million man person, people who voted for Donald Trump, these rallies of 30,000 people roaring, if you can connect this with this pathetic, tiny, white national socialist movement, you just killed the last, best, only chance of the white race and of our country, of saving it, of recovering it. And that's their program. And white nationalists need to suck it up and realize that's what's going on and stop giving material to the left, because that's what, and let me tell you, folks, I can tell you this on authority. The white nationalist movement, which is actually the white national socialist movement, which I am certainly out of, has never numbered more than 5,000 people total. Their so-called organizations, and I'm really an authority on this, never have membership lists of more than 200 or 300 people. And never never receive a contribution of more than $200 or $300. It's all smoke and mirrors manipulated by the left-wing media who use white nationalism as the boogeyman with which to smack down any appearance of a European white patriot movement. And all you good people out there that have never had anything to do with the white nationalist movement, please get involved with Donald Trump, who is not the white nationalist movement. He is simply what we've needed all along. We needed it ever since this another madman, Adolf Hitler, a complete psychotic sociopath who murdered more white people than any person who's ever walked the face of the earth. A complete madman who did more to wreck our people. I mean, permanently wreck our people. Charles Lindbergh. Don't listen to Kelso. Listen to Charles Lindbergh. I'm trying to remember this from memory. Hang on. Charles Lindbergh, in November of 1939, wrote a main article for the Reader's Digest magazine, the most popular magazine in the world. At the time, Charles Lindbergh was the most popular man on earth. And he said these words. He wrote these words, and they're burned into my mind. Unless we band together, he said, we stand on the verge of a war that may destroy Western civilization, that may destroy our race. And he said, unless we band together to preserve that most priceless possession, our inheritance of European blood, we're going to lose it. And he was talking about Adolf Hitler. He was talking about his launch of World War II on September 1st of 1939, the most stupid, destructive decision ever made by any person in the history of European people. And how there are people today like this jerk, Bauer, who's a fan of Adolf Hitler, and thank God he hated Donald Trump. And thank God he called Donald Trump a Zionist, a tool of the Zionists, and a stooge of the Jews. Thank you, Bauer. That's the only good thing you've ever done. Because if you hadn't done that, the left-wing media would be associating your crazy, insane, killer activity, which is truly anti-Semitic activity. They'd be associating it with Donald Trump and hurting him so badly, he might not get reelected in 2020. And that they've been doing that, by the way, ever since Donald Trump started his campaign. They've been trying to destroy Trump by painting him as a Hitler man, as a fascist, as a Nazi, as a white nationalist. None of which he is. He's simply what we, our people, have needed all along. He's simply a red-blooded patriot, period. He hates Hitler. And I can tell you, folks, just listen to Kelso tell you now, it's true. The white nationalist movement is and always has been, in fact, the white national socialist movement. And if you doubt what I'm saying, contact your local white nationalist leader, you know, write to any of them, call them up and say, I want to hear you say Hitler was a monster. I want you to say that to me. Hitler was a monster. None of them will. None of them will. And it took me 15 years to find that out, that they actually admire Hitler. Almost all of them. I think there are a couple who don't. I'm not going to name them here. I don't want to embarrass them. But almost all of them admire Hitler. And the white nationalist movement has been, in fact, a white national socialist movement. I am an authority on this. I'm not an outsider guessing about this. You're hearing it from the horse's mouth right here, folks. And this latest Bauer person, well, there you go. And Donald Trump, now, by the way, there's an interesting article on this subject. There's a great article here on Breitbart where it's, you know, this fellow Scaramucci, who had a very brief tenure as a communications director for Donald Trump. I think it lasted only 10 days. It's kind of funny, and he laughs about it himself. But Scaramucci managed to get himself fired after 10 days. But he's a big Trump man, and he's a big patriot. And he's got an article on Breitbart that says, Israel doesn't think Trump is anti-Semitic. Now, I haven't read the article. I've only read the title. That's all I've read right there. But I want to go in and read that later, because this is one of the remarkable facts about Donald Trump. One of his stupendous achievements is that Donald Trump has managed to seize the high ground. The people of Israel, and when we're talking about the question of Jews, Israel, on those in that realm, Donald Trump is more admired in Israel than any other American politician. There was a football team in
Jamie,
Israel. Yes, go ahead, Paul.
Am I in?
Yes,
well,
you are.
To me, that's nothing to be proud about if the president is liked by the Israelis. I mean, how does that speak for America? What's the big
deal?
Yes,
but do you, let me ask
it's
you,
not,
Paul.
That doesn't
you,
serve
Paul,
our
Paul, was Hitler a monster?
To you, yes. To me, no.
Right, there you go. You're a Hitler man. No, you're a Hitler man.
I love Hitler. When you were talking about Hitler, I'm like, oh, yeah, it was like love.
You know how many people share your thoughts,
like
Paul? Do you know what percentage of white American red-blooded patriots like me? Do you know what percentage?
Well, they're failed historians. National Socialists are just more well-read and smarter. And
smarter.
Basically have read and understand philosophy better and the implications of evolution and biology better than
Paul. Are you a member of Mensa?
Non-Nazis.
Paul, you're smarter than me. Are you a member of Mensa?
No, I'm not. Why would I need to be approval by everybody? And that's part of your problem, Jamie. You're always looking for approval.
Paul, I'm
Jews.
A member. I've been a member for decades, and my IQ is 150.
Okay? Well, either way, you should figure out the natural reaction towards Judaism is white nationalism, and whites need to unify as a biological group
and join
international Jewry. And so the occasional lashing out, like what happens with Robert Bauer, like I said earlier, is par for the course, and the Jews are just going to have to adapt. Some of us white guys are going to fly off the handle, not me, of course. But there are men out there who fly off the handle every once in a while. They're going to blame the Jews, as Barbara Spector said. So they can modify their behavior. We urge Jews to become good Americans and not be dual allegiance pro-Israelis.
Okay. Paul, let me
and try to
Paul,
undermine Western civilization, as they do everywhere. So.
Okay, Paul, now let me I'm going to surprise you for a moment, okay? First of all, I'm going to thank you for calling in with the point of view that you're defending. You are articulately defending a point of view it's hard to find somebody who will do that. And so I want to thank you for that. I'm not being facetious when I say this, because I want to ask you, can I get you to stay on the line for a couple more minutes? And I'm going to lower
my...
Yeah,
by the way, I totally differ with your view on World War II. When you were filibustering before... I was rolling my eyes and just so much you were saying I disagreed with and was objecting to. But
of course.
I speak. It's your show. So.
Yeah, of course. Now, and by the way, if I might, you're a very smart guy. You know your stuff. And if you're not embarrassed to do this, I wouldn't mind at all if you would call into the show in the future, because we have so much to cover here, including the history of World War II, which, you know, I mean, we take several shows to do that. And it's worth doing, by the way. It's worth doing. If you, Paul, if you're interested in doing this.
I'd have to have my notes. I got to go through my David Irving and bone up on that and get some quotes out. Yeah.
Right. I'm a personal friend of David Irving. So that's something I'd like to discuss too. But let me see. Both of us listen for a moment. I don't want you to hang up, but let's listen. We've got the break music. No, I don't hear it. Yes, I do. Stay with us, Paul. We'll be right back, everybody.
times ain't over for good.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When this war is over, it will be but a death. When this war is over, it will be but a death.
We're back, folks.
But it won't bring back.
We are back, and I hope Paul is still with us. Paul, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, now listen, I sincerely, brother, I admire your guts. And if you can stick with me in this, first of all, in this conversation that you and I hope are about to have, if you hang in there, I salute you, brother, not with a Roman salute either. and if you want to call into the show in the future basically take the pro-Hitler position, I would appreciate that. I would really appreciate it because you are well-informed, you're really smart, and so you're a capable – I'm getting some engineer. Hang on, Paul. I got to send a message to the engineer. I just have to tell the engineer he's live for me. You can't hear him, Paul. Can you hear the engineer, Paul?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do. Okay. So yeah, let's hope the engineer doesn't say anything embarrassing.
Yeah, right.
This happens in radio, folks. That, you know, somebody, the mic goes live that you think is not on. There he is. I think he just turned himself down. And people have ended their radio careers with careless comments or jokes off, which they thought were off the air. But, Paul, this is a really – I have been hoping I've been trying to think, really, you know, who could I that I know? I know lots of people in the folks out there. Again, if you haven't been in this world, these are unfamiliar terms to you. But if I say the word NS to anybody in the white nationalist movement, they instantly know what I mean. NS is there aren't two guys in the white nationalist movement who don't know what NS means. It means National Socialist. And so in the white nationalist movement, you could just use NS as an adjective. And so I was trying to think of who do I know? And I know plenty of such people, including all the top ones. I know them all personally, and I don't even want to go into my long history with them. I don't even want to go into it. Maybe if I'm feeling a little more bold in a future show, I will. But my point is this: I know what I'm talking about at the source, okay? And so I've been wanting to debate with somebody who admires Hitler, like David Irving, for example. He's a good example. I know David Irving pretty well, and but I've wanted to debate somebody who is an admirer of Hitler. Who would call himself NS, and actually hash out these questions like, was Hitler a monster? Was he a monster? NS people don't think so. He is a hero to someone who is a National Socialist. A common phrase you'll hear is, he's the greatest man who ever lived. That's a common thought. That's a quote from some people, some names you're familiar with out there, folks, and I'm not going to directly tie those quotes in here. But I just want to go in the abstract here and talk about Paul, here's my point, and this comes from long experience, and I think I may be the first guy to actually really broadcast this, what you could call the Kelso thesis, which is that the far left has used white national socialism, under the name white nationalism, has used that tiny movement since before the days of George Lincoln Rockwell, the founder of the American Nazi Party, has used that movement to drive average, normal, smart, dedicated white people away from organizing themselves. That's my thesis, Paul.
That's absurd. They are absurd to think that. They're cowards, then. The way
well, okay. All right. I'm glad you got a strong view on that. Okay, all right, so that's your contention there. Now, yeah. Here's what I contend. They're not weak. And, you know, I know plenty of these people. They're really...
And they're afraid, or they haven't figured it out, but go ahead.
Okay. Here's how the psychology of the whole thing works. Hitler is, I contend, all right, he is the most hated man in all of history. And if he's not number one...
I don't think so at all.
I would expect you to disagree on that.
Yeah.
But I think if I walked out on the street right now, and with a clipboard, and just walk down a line of average white people, good, solid, working,
dummies.
Okay,
pretty much.
Well, okay. Now this, and by the way, this is something you and I will talk about, because one of the things that's true within the National Socialist movement is that NS guys, and it is almost all guys, but that's okay. That's okay. There's no, I'm not going to impugn it on that basis, but NS folks, men and women, it's real common for them to think that they are what they would call, and they use this word, the vanguard, and that they are they're way ahead of their more timid, less well-informed fellow white folks who don't have the courage to espouse National Socialism. So, and this is a pretty much everybody who's NS shares that thought that I just shared with you. I disagree totally. I don't think that the average white people who hate Hitler are wrong. I think they're right.
I know you have that. I've heard what you said before, but I disagree with you. So.
Okay, all right. And their reason for hating him is the same one that my father had when he served in World War II.
I know,
in the
he's ensconced. Right. It's subjective. He's just another cog in the wheel. Right.
Well, it's the same reason the German people today, right now, if you were to walk the streets of Munich or Berlin and ask Germans.
Yeah, the guilt trip's been laid on them, sure.
Okay.
By the media for the past 70 years. Yeah.
Right. So. Now I'm going to pull away from that just a bit. I mean, on any of these points, Paul, you and I could dive into them and go for hours and hours.
Yeah, it's 70 years of Jewish cultural dominance. So, yeah.
Okay.
Ever since we were kids.
Okay, now let me just tell you, the hair is standing up on the back of my neck, Paul, because I've been wanting to have this conversation in public with a smart person like you for years. And so, I mean, this is really an important conversation that you and I are having, and I'm really.
Well, then move it along and let me speak at some point. But go ahead.
Okay, I will, and I'll give you much more time. But I want to kind of sketch out my position, because it's I haven't heard, you know, when I try to find someone else who's espousing what I'm espousing here, you don't find such people. This is a new thesis, this Kelso thesis. And it took somebody from within white nationalism to see the truth of what I'm saying and then come out to the much larger public of white people in something like the Trump movement to actually say, hey, this is what's been going on. Now, here's what I believe has been going on, Paul. These aren't smart, dumb people who don't admire Hitler. There's very good reasons that they have for hating Hitler, extremely good reasons. And
if you want to move up the ladder and be accepted in Jewish power, you have to, you know, like kiss the ring.
Okay. Right. All right. That's
I hear what you're saying.
I disagree.
If you want power, you got to kiss the ring and hate Hitler. Okay. If you want to be dispossessed or disenfranchised and avoided and left out, then you like Hitler.
Right. Okay.
That's how it works.
Now, but here's the mechanism. This is how it works. When a normal, just plain patriotic white guy or gal who loves his people or her people and wants
like
to
Hitler
save
did.
Our...
Right.
Well, okay, don't put words in my mouth. I won't put words in your mouth.
It is true, though. He did love his people, yeah.
Well, was he loving his people when he committed to land warfare against the biggest army on earth, the Russian army? And in that instant condemned millions of fine young German men to certain death? Did he love the white race when he did that?
Well, first of all, we got to talk to David Irving to have him discuss who actually started it and why Hitler might have been reacting and just trying to beat Stalin to an invasion, an inevitable war anyway. Right. So there's a lot of factors, and I didn't want to go there in this conversation.
Okay, I know. Well, this will have
But it takes I mean, if Hitler, a lot of Germans died in World War II, but so did a lot of Russians. Did Stalin not love his people either?
He didn't watch the war. Hitler did.
Well, according to others and interpretations I've heard, that's why I want to bone up on this. I'm acknowledging.
Well, by the way, the only person in all of history who could possibly contend with Hitler for being the man who killed more white people than any other is Joseph Stalin.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's the only
under
one
Jewish communism. Right, under Jewish communism.
And Stalin is arguably not even a white guy. So
he's a Georgian. He's a Georgian. So he's going to be little Semitic and
in any event, Semitic. Hitler's only rival for sociopath is Stalin himself. So whether Hitler ends up getting the gold medal or the silver medal, you know, it doesn't make much difference. He killed many millions of white people.
It takes two to tango. You see, that's wrong about your interpretation of World War II, is that, you know, the Americans crossed an ocean to get involved in that war. The British neglected every suing
for peace. Okay, let me ask you a question. Paul, let me
ask you a question. The British, by the way, under Jewish financial rule, right, would never give in to make a sue for peace when it was offered by the Germans.
Okay, now
so the British, with the firebombing and et cetera by the Americans and the just indifferent, you know, like mass incineration of some of the finest European stock, and you make it sound like it's Hitler's fault.
Well, now hang on, let me throw a curveball at you, Paul, just to kind of address maybe some of what you just said. These American people, my father's generation, and my grandfather, who also fought in World War II at the same time as my father. My father's generation, when they signed up, all of them, every red-blooded male in America signed up to fight Hitler, every single one. I mean, there were like the number of people who held out saying, I'm not going to go to war to fight Hitler. You could assemble them all in a small high school gym. These were not dumb people.
They were being programmed by the Jewish controlled Hollywood back then.
But now
Neil Gabler's book.
Okay, but
Neil Gabler's book, An Empire of Their Own, he admits even in the 20s and 30s, Jewish dominance in Hollywood was already happening.
Okay, what happened now? These my father's generation that were so controlled by the Jews and
by the media. Yeah, no, American media.
Let me finish the sentence, Paul. They're so controlled by the Jews and led around by the nose. Why did that generation, when a Jewish refugee ship left Europe, I've forgotten the name of the ship, you may remember it, a Jewish refugee ship.
The St. Louis,
yes, was when it pulled into New York Harbor, all of these Jewish-controlled people, including Franklin Delano, people like to call him Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, an extreme left-winger, who actually put a communist, Henry A. Wallace, on his ticket in 1944 as vice presidential candidate. Why did those people, Roosevelt, told the Jews on that ship, you cannot land in New York City. And they had to go back into the Atlantic. He just turned the ship around. Roosevelt did.
Yeah, so what? They're Jews. I'm not a Jew, so why should I care?
But wait a minute. But Roosevelt's completely controlled by the Jews.
No, I said the media at that time was controlled by the Jews. I didn't talk about the government.
But my father's generation told that Jewish ship, go back into the Atlantic. We will not let you land.
Good. Now, that's good, okay, that's good immigration enforcement. I like it.
Here's my point.
Yeah, it is.
Here's my point. I'm refuting your point that all of these, that my father's generation and his father's generation were not a bunch of
died for nothing and killed the finest European youth.
Not stooges. No, these are not stooges.
Yes, they did. They volunteered and they fought the wrong army. Like General Patton said, they fought the wrong people. The Germans were the good guys. George Patton observed that when he was over in Berlin after the war, and he says it was a complete mistake in his writings.
I don't know what your German ancestry is, but my
middle
name is
Paul. That's what George Patton said. Listen, I'm quoting Patton, and I agree with Patton.
I'm German.
Is that so wrong? George Patton was one of the greatest American soldiers
ever.
And I agree with his opinion.
Yeah, Patton is one of my cousins. But I have a large chunk of German in me. My middle name is Walrath is German, okay?
Right, so why would you want in a fratricidal war or even try to defend it?
I don't, as Charles Lindbergh would do anything to avert that most destructive war that might have ended, that he predicted would end our civilization.
So why did we let these degenerate homosexual Winston Churchill, and the drunkard cripple with polio, Roosevelt, pick on the fine German nation when the German nation just want a unified European world?
Okay,
and Americans and the British are under the poison of Jewish financial and media power as we are today. We are still under the power of Jewish Federal Reserve, the Rothschilds.
Have you got any Polish friends? The media control,
Facebook,
Google. Now, Paul, let me just as a ground rule for this. I love this extended debate with you, but please, I'll try to follow my own rules. Okay, no filibustering. Okay, if you and I make one point, then don't drag in every other point. As if you got 20 seconds left to make the whole case. Just let's stick to one point, then we can move together to the next point. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any Polish friends?
Not that many. I knew some guys in the past, but no, not really.
Okay. All right. Well, I have a few Polish friends, and, everybody does. You've got a few, I'm sure, if you think about it, and because there's so many Polish Americans. And so the question is, no, it wasn't the drunken, homosexual this guy or that guy that dragged us into World War II.
I
heard you say that. But my case is stronger. On September 1st, 1939, one man, Adolf Hitler, sat at his desk in the Reich's Chancellery, and in his desk, he's got the order to the Wehrmacht to launch a several million man attack, and the entire Luftwaffe as well, and Reichsmarine, total war attack on Poland. On September 1st, 1939. Now, the night before, August 31st, Hitler had ordered German troops to dress up in Polish uniforms and stage a fake attack on some German outposts, which were then publicized in German newspapers as the Poles have attacked us. But Hitler, my point is this, one man with no consultation from a legislature, no vote of the German people. One crazy dictator in charge of the entire German military, on his own insane motives, launches a total war against the Polish people, and overnight is at the doorstep of Warsaw, orders, when he reaches Warsaw, which is full of women and children, he says, surrender or we open up the artillery. The Poles say, we're not surrendering. The artillery opens up. 20,000 dead women and children later, the Wehrmacht marches into Warsaw. Okay, that was the start of World War II, and that was started by one insane man who did not love the white race. Poles are every bit as white as you or me or any other white person. If anybody's, that's why I say, do you have Polish friends? These are really white people in Poland, and they're proving my point today when under their president Duda today, Poland is one of the great, make America great again, make Poland great again. Poland is following the Trump formula, and they are closing their borders, and they are restoring their great and ancient Polish people. But Hitler launched that war on September 1st, 1939, by himself against Poland. It was his choice, and I've talked with David Irving personally. I've met with Irving in six different locations, from Las Vegas to Baton Rouge to all over the country, to Fargo, North Dakota, where I asked him personally. I asked David Irving, I said, is there any person who could have deterred? Is there anyone anywhere in Germany who could have stopped Hitler from launching World War II? And Irving, without a moment's hesitation, said no. He was going to go. Just like that guy that ran into the synagogue, where he said, I'm going in. Well, that's what Hitler said on September 1st. I'm going in. And that launched World War II. And let me give you one more detail in that. How did Germany end up sending tanks and airplanes and submarines against France and Britain? How did that happen? Did France and Britain attack Germany? No. They declared war on Germany on paper 3 days after the attack of September 1st, by treaty, both obliged to do so. But for 6 months after that, they did nothing. They didn't fire a single bullet at a German unit for 6 months. It was Hitler, under the von Manstein plan, who then launched his surprise attack, not directly on France, but through Belgium and the Netherlands and Luxembourg, overrunning those countries and slaughtering those white people into France, against the French and British. And of course, can the French and British, I mean, they're now at war with Germany. The Wehrmacht is all over them. And by the way, the guy who wrote that plan, General von Manstein, later after the war, wrote his own book, making the point that Hitler was in fact a madman. And von Manstein, the plan that Hitler had written himself to attack France, von Manstein, as one of the top generals, looked at it and said, this is nuts. This is a total failure. He rewrote it, using his brilliance as a general, he was sad to say later, and he wrote a brilliant plan through the Ardennes Forest that, in fact, was victorious. But that's how Germany, you would say, well, how did we all end up at war? When Germany attacked France and Belgium and the Netherlands and Great Britain, what is a patriotic American white man supposed to do? And after his ally, Japan, sneak attacks Pearl Harbor, I can tell you, Paul, you would have been at the recruiting station signing up with Uncle Sam to fight Hitler. And if you didn't show up at the recruiting station, you'd never get a date with a girl in your town again.
Right, so you're justifying the whole nation going mad, in this case the United States, forsaking what the founders had wanted when it comes to steering clear of foreign entanglements, and basically just join in a European fratricide, right?
Well,
instead of trying to negotiate peacefully and work it out through political means. Listen, we have to remember that anybody, like in many of the occupied parts of German of Europe after the Nazis invaded, for example, France or Holland, those male citizens were free to join the Nazi army. So that shows actually the very inclusiveness of Nazism, that it was becoming a global phenomenon where universal whites rule Europe, right? And they are in charge and they displace Jewish power and put banking in the service of whites and putting the political interest of whites once everybody joined universal white nationalism. And so I believe
there
were mistakes on all sides, but many of the things that happened to Germans, there were old grudges from World War One and the Treaty of Versailles.
Yes.
And so I do agree that the Germans might have lashed out due to how they were treated, and also the predation of international Jewry as a motive, and actually a decent motive, because, you know, if you're going to send your tanks into France, one of the things you can do is you can get control of those French banks.
And liberate
the world from Jewish financial dominance.
Now you're making a bunch of points.
One of the factors of what Nazism's trying to do is an absolute dispossession of Jewish dominance.
Okay.
And that's why
Paul,
there were mistakes in the past, but in the modern era, let me speak, we Gentiles should be allowed to unite under a universal Gentile cause of international white nationalism and promote our people over others. And we should be concerned about the deaths of our people. And that's what I like about what you're saying, Jamie, about the horror of World War II and what a mistake it was. And hopefully the white race will learn from that in the future when we're picking enemies and not going along with Donald Trump and his hostility towards Russia at the moment, and have the remaining white powers of the world in a nuclear holocaust because of Russia.
Sort of privilege I will take over you in this is that because I'm running the radio show, I will, at my discretion, kind of shift the focus. And so I will, in that way, be steering the conversation. But I don't mean to step on what you're saying.
But I totally steered it over to Russia just there. But I'm saying that.
I'm going to shift the focus right now because I want to get back onto a central point I have, because I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole of the intricacies of World War II. I want to make a point that comes right to the present, which is this, and that is that I believe Donald Trump has needed a renaissance, a movement of European peoples to preserve themselves. We have badly needed this ever since before World War II, and people like Charles Lindbergh were very intent upon creating such a movement. They were actually doing it. Hitler derailed all of that. But here's the point I want to make, Paul, is that I can say this from the inside, the white nationalist movement that is enthusiastic about Hitler is incredibly tiny. I personally organized the largest meeting of such people in the last 20 years. I organized it, okay, in New Orleans in the year 2005. I organized that David Duke meeting. There were 425 people there. I got them all there personally. One guy organized that meeting, me. So I kind of know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. That's the largest white nationalist meeting in the last more than 20 years. And the point I'm trying to make to you out there in the public is that's about how many people there are in the white nationalist movement. It is a tiny, that's the biggest meeting ever. And in general, if you talk about a white nationalist meeting in America today, 20 people, 10 people, David Duke had me helping him. I ran his office, Paul. I ran David Duke's office. He had me organizing a national tour for him to run for president. And he called that off when he couldn't get more than six people in a location. And the whole premise of the tour was, you know, there'd be a great public outcry. Oh, the great public support, huge support. No, America hates Nazis. David was a member of the American Nazi Party. And he's still ending his speeches.
Like
with,
I said,
speeches. He's ending his speeches with, let me ask you this. What is the phrase "Hail Victory"? Translate that into German for me. Hail Victory. Translate that into German.
I guess that would, I think it's, I'm not sure if it's Sieg Heil. I'm not sure.
It is Sieg Heil. It's a direct translation. And any of you folks out there that are wondering about the mysteries of the white nationalist movement, anytime you hear anybody end a speech or use in their speech the phrase "Hail Victory," okay, you just heard somebody say "Sieg Heil." That is code word. Code
it sounds
talk.
Fun. It, by the way, it doesn't bother me at all. It's a reading. A greeting among fellow whites.
But I'm for truth and advertising. Paul, I'm for truth and advertising. I'm for people who admire Hitler. Say it in the first sentence. Now, stay with me, Paul. We'll be right back.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Some folks call me a rambling man. I do a lot of thumbing and kicking cans, and it wouldn't do an ounce of good to call my name.
Hey, we're back, folks.
Cause Daddy's name wasn't Willie Woodrow, and I wasn't.
No, it wasn't Willie Woodrow. And I'm on the phone with Paul in New Jersey. And Paul, we're going to run out of time. This is such an incredibly important topic that you and I are debating right now. This is great. I love debate. And I want to thank you for standing in the other podium over there in this debate. I just want to close with a couple points, and you're welcome to refute them quickly if you can. But I want to make a point about the Trump revolution. And a very important point I want to make, folks, is why I created this radio show. Donald Trump has nothing to do with white nationalism.
His movement
did not arise from white nationalism. There are no organizational or personal or even ideological roots of what Trump has created and which has succeeded with 63 million votes in 2016. So there are, with those 63 million votes, which represent entire families, there are, you know, way more than 100 million Americans of all colors. But obviously, if you've been to a Trump rally, more than 90% of them are white. But white America loves Donald Trump. And he's the man they've been waiting for. Now, I want to just address this question on, Jewish power. Let me ask you, Paul, what do you think of Michael Savage's radio shows? He's a Jew. What do you think of his radio shows?
He's okay.
He's okay. Okay. What do you think of Michael Rivero? He's a Jew.
He's okay.
Okay. What do you think of Matt? What do you think of Matt Drudge? He's a Jew.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware of all that. That's what I'm talking about.
I'll tell you this.
Representation of Jews in the media.
I'll tell you this. If these incredibly, by the way, what do you think of Breitbart on the web? Breitbart.com.
I don't care for it.
Okay,
well, three of those guys are pretty much Zionists.
Andrew Breitbart,
except for
Breitbart,
Rivero.
Andrew Breitbart was Jewish until he had his heart attack.
I'm aware.
My point is this: without the support of Michael Savage and Matt Drudge and Breitbart, Donald Trump would not have been elected, not at all. And there are many other incredible on Fox right now. Mark Levin has the national top-rated, who's Jewish, he has the top-rated cable show on television. And he is a huge Trump supporter. My point is this, Paul, is that the effort to stigmatize and to demonize I hate the word. When anybody uses the phrase the Jews, I recoil instantly. As soon as that phrase, the Jews, okay, because they're Jewish people come in every flavor and stripe, including incredible heroes like the people I just mentioned. Their shows are more important, better, more effective, have achieved more for our people than my show ever will.
Well, wait a minute. No, they haven't achieved because, hold up. Non-white immigration is still at an all-time high. A million people coming in every year. So
Trump
has not delivered.
Well, I'm not saying we're done. Obviously, we got a long ways to go.
Trump hasn't delivered on
that. But Paul, do me a
favor. Neither have any of them. So it's been
okay. Now, Paul, do me a favor. Can you call in again tomorrow night?
I'll consider it. I might be busy. All right, bye.
Okay, but all right, we'll talk to you soon, folks. This is a great debate that's begun here between Paul in New Jersey and Kelso at RBN. Stay tuned. See you again tomorrow night.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting.